This is that awkward moment when a handbell choir preached your sermon for you, but I'm going to see what we can do. Before I get into my sermon this morning, there is opportunity we have at the end of this month to partner with the city of Conyers. They've asked if we would man the marshmallow roasting fire pits at the Christmas party on Friday, November the 30th. This whole weekend at the end of the month is kind of a big kickoff to Christmas here in Conyers. There's a party on Friday night. There's a parade on Saturday. But they've invited us specifically to come with adults to man the fire pit station. So there's three fire pits. There'll be two adults per station and then some people to help with the line. And essentially we're giving them sticks, putting marshmallows, you know, giving them some marshmallows, and the number one requirement is that no children fall in the fire. That was that's what she expressed to us. I don't know what happened last year, but that was what was expressed. And so I told her, yeah, you know, we can do that. We'll partner with you. So if you would like to be involved that weekend, you can sign up by either filling out this Get Connected card in your worship folder, which is an awesome way for you to communicate with us. I don't know if you know, but we have a new database at the church. And with a new database, you look at the old database and realize you have a lot of old data that's wrong. So, you know, if you want to just give us your information in general, it'll help us update the database. But this is a way to volunteer. There's also sign-up sheets in the narthex. On Friday, that's taking place for our volunteers. Our youth on Friday night and Thursday night before that, they are volunteering with the special needs community here in Conyers. They're putting on Charlie Brown Christmas at the Black Box Theater. So our students are going to be helping them with their lines, helping them get from different places on the stage. And so that'll be a very busy night for us as a church. And then on Saturday at 4 o'clock is the parade. And we have a float in the parade. And we would love for you to, if you want to be with us in the parade. We actually have some large letters that say hope, so we're going to be bringing the hope through the parade as we go, and we'd love to have you that weekend. So please, if you are available that last week in November, you know, we've actually even designed some Christmas Bringing the Hope shirts. They look like a tacky Christmas sweater, but it's got like little reindeers and snowflakes in the logo, so we're all going to be out there just representing the church, partnering with the city, and just bringing the hope as we've been doing so far this year. So please sign up and be there for that. This morning, the series that we are starting, if you'll just click on the water up there. All right, thank you. So we're starting a series on Jonah, and the title of the series is Runner. Runner. Jonah runs from God, and then in the middle of the story, he kind of runs towards God. So we're going to be looking at the act of running this morning. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to John chapter 1. Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Thanks, Dave. If you've never read the book of Jonah, it's only four chapters and takes about 20 minutes. You can, you know, Feel proud that you read a book of the Bible over your lunch break or something. Yeah, and if you the book before that, Obadiah, is just one page. You know, you can become a Bible scholar in no time flat. But yeah, Jonah, not John, but Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So not to totally duplicate what the bells have taught us this morning, but I want to look a little bit at the story of Jonah, just in the true sense of the story. So Jonah is a prophet of God. Because he is a prophet of God, we know that he has a relationship with God. He has communication with God. In the Old Testament, we know that there are select people who have this communication with God, and prophets are one of them, and we know that Jonah is a prophet of the Lord. So Jonah is a prophet. He hears from God. God sends him to cities, and in this particular story, God sends Jonah to the great city of Nineveh. But this time, for whatever reason, Jonah doesn't go. In fact, what we read in verse 3 was he went in the opposite direction away from the Lord. And so God tells Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. Jonah runs from God. He goes to Joppa. He buys a ticket to hop on a boat so he can go to Tarshish, which is in the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. And the Bible says that immediately God sent a wind and a great storm hit the boat. And all of the people on the boat are panicking. They're trying to save the boat. They're throwing cargo over. And all the while, Jonah is asleep in the bottom of the boat. They even draw lots to see who's brought this on us. And that points to Jonah. So they go get him. They wake him up. They say, you know, what is going on? In fact, in verse 10, it says, we know you're running away from your Lord, because Jonah had told them, look, I'm on this boat because I'm running away from God. So they know that. They said, what do we do to stop this? We know you're running away from your God. And Jonah says, you have to throw me over the boat, throw me into the sea. And these are good fishermen here, because I would have pushed him right then and there, stop this thing. And they don't. They argue with him. And they're like, no, we can't do this. And Jonah's like, you have to do it. And so he convinces them, and they throw him into the sea. And once again, the Bible said, immediately the storm stopped. So as Jonah's thrown into the sea, the Bible says a great fish swallowed him. And he stays inside the belly of this fish for 3 days. And it's in the belly of this fish, and you read in chapter 2 of Jonah this long prayer where Jonah comes to his senses. I don't know how Paul knew what the inside of the belly of the fish was. He said it was cold and damp. But for whatever reason, Jonah comes to his senses, and he prays to God. And the Bible says the fish spit him onto dry land. And then the Bible says God spoke to Jonah, and he says, go to the city of Nineveh. And this time Jonah goes. And the Bible says it's such a large city, it took him 3 days to go throughout the city, telling them, if you don't repent, the judgment of God is coming upon you. And so he does this. And what happens is the city repents. It even says the king took off his royal clothing, right? And he called a fast and a repentance for the whole city. But this is where the story kind of takes a weird turn, because Jonah, the prophet of God, goes and climbs up on a hill overlooking the city, and he's angry. He's angry. In fact, in some translations, it translates him saying to God, I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to do this. This is why I didn't want to come. And then you have this weird thing happen where God causes a tree to grow to give him shade, and then God sends a worm to eat the tree. And God and Jonah are having this discussion. And God said, there's like so many people in Nineveh. You mean they all should be destroyed? You know, my grace is for them pretty much. And Jonah says, I just wish I was dead. I would rather die right now. And so Jonah, through his behavior at the end, sheds a little light, I feel, on why he acted the way he did at the beginning. You see, Jonah is running away from God. Why is he running away from God? Well, if you take the beginning of the story and the end of the story, you see that God wants Jonah to go to Nineveh. At the end of the story, Jonah says, I knew you were going to do this. So I think Jonah didn't want Nineveh to be forgiven. Jonah didn't want them the opportunity to repent. It was a wicked, evil city. He didn't want to see them get right. Maybe he wanted the city to be overtaken in 40 days. You see, as a prophet of God, this kind of leads us to believe that God had sent Jonah to other places. And as a result of Jonah proclaiming the word of God, the people repented and God's grace spared them. And so, I think this morning the reason that Jonah runs from God is because of Jonah's feelings towards the city and the people of Nineveh. Jonah did not want to see the city spared. He was willing to run away from God. He was willing to cut off God. I mean, in the middle of a raging storm, he's asleep in the bottom of the boat. He's not asking God for help. Him and God, their relationship right now is on the fritz. He doesn't want to do this. So he's running from God. His feelings towards Nineveh are dictating his response to God. You see, it seems like in this story that God's grace for Nineveh was so strong that he was even willing to allow Jonah to be thrown into the sea and swallowed by fish just to get to them. You see, God wanted to use Jonah to express his grace to people that Jonah didn't like, to people that Jonah didn't want to see them experience the grace of God. God had chosen to use Jonah as a vessel to display his grace, to preach and proclaim the word that God had given them in order to give them a chance to repent. But when God asked Jonah to do this, he runs from God. You see, this was a non-negotiable, it seemed like, right? God, I'll go to these places I've gone before, but I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not, because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to tell them that you're about to destroy them and they're going to all fall on their knees and ask you to forgive them, and then you're going to forgive them, and I don't want to be a part of that. So Jonah cuts off communication with God. He runs from God. He goes in the opposite direction. He hops on a boat. He is completely away from God, or so he thought, right? Because can we really ever run from God? Can we really ever get away from God? But so Jonah runs from God. He allows his prejudice. He allows his preconceived ideas. He allows his hate, even, of Nineveh to stand between him and the will of God. So this morning, I wonder, in our lives, what causes us to run from God? What causes us to cut off our communication with God? Are there people in our lives that if God were to tell us, I need you to go over here and do this for them, that's it. That's the point. That's when we run from God. That's when we turn away from God. Are there groups of people that we just, you know, we don't want to sit here and watch them thrive. We don't want to see them be blessed. We don't want to see good things happen to them because they're such evil people. You know, what are the non-negotiables between you and God? Lord, I'll follow you up to this point, but this is the line. Because see, obviously Jonah had a line, right? I'll go do what you want me to do, but I'm not going to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to go there. And so he runs from God. Are those people in your life? I know that they're in my life. I know that too often there are people in my life or in my world that instead of being kind to them and instead of extending grace to them, I wish ill for them, right? I don't want to see them happy. They make me miserable. They should be miserable. That's how we are. But you know what happens whenever we get to that place? We, like Jonah, run from God. We cut off communication with God. We're no longer listening. We close the Bible, right? When we're in those angry places, are we like praying? And no, we're not, right? We're angry. We're mad. And Jonah runs from God. He even tells the people, I'm running from God. I equate that to the times where we get frustrated with God, right? And we gripe. And we maybe tell somebody, maybe I'm telling Jennifer, I just don't understand why God won't do this. Right? I'm angry at God. Why is God not doing this? And so sometimes we get deeper and deeper away from God. We run further and further away. We don't open His Word because we don't want to hear from God. We don't pray about the situation because we know what God's going to say. We don't want to hear it. So we cut off communication. We run away from God. This happens all the time. But I think the lesson that we see in Jonah's life is that God wants, first of all, God's will and His grace is for everyone, right? We learned that. We did a series on the will of God, and we talked about how there's this overarching will of God, and that is reconciliation. And God's grace, God wills that His grace would reach everyone. You see, too often you and I, we make ourselves the star of the story, right? Jesus died for my sins. I'm the star. But everybody is the star of the story of grace because grace is for everyone. And so I wonder this morning, maybe those people in our lives that there are non-negotiable, maybe Jesus is wanting to use us to show His grace to them. Think about that. If somebody's incredibly mean to you, they're anticipating that you're going to get frustrated, right? They're anticipating you're not going to be kind in return, but maybe God has positioned us as believers, as the body of Christ, to respond differently. Now, it takes the grace of God because how do we want to respond? Right? We want to get back up in their face. We want them to feel what we feel. We want justice. That's what Jonah wanted. Jonah wanted them punished. Punish them. Punish them. I knew you were going to forgive them. That's not what I wanted. They're evil people. And so we get so caught up in our feelings and everything being about us that we cut off God. We run from God. We allow people, the non-negotiables, the thing that you know, our theology for God is nice and neat until He steps out over this line right here, until He starts going in this direction. And so we run from God. You know, it's interesting. Jonah's not someone who is unfamiliar with God. He's a prophet. You and I, we're not unfamiliar with God. We're His children. We've enjoyed His blessings. We understand. We felt His grace. But there's something that gets between us and God, and that something is us. It's ourselves. It's our pride. It's the non-negotiables of life. And so the only way to deal with pride is humility, right? We have to humble ourselves. And the best way to stop running from God is to run towards God. And as we see in chapter 2, prayer. Prayer is an act of running towards God. Why is prayer an act of running towards God? Because so often when we're running from God, we've cut off communication. We don't want to hear from God. We kind of know what God's going to say. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to read His Word. We don't want to... You know what, God, I get it, but I don't want to be a part of it. I want to be angry right now. I don't want to deal with those people right now. But humility is praying, because when we pray, we reopen the line of communication, right? We reopen the line of communication with God. We stop running away from God, and we turn and we face God. And so we pray. We first do like Jonah. We have to repent. We have to say, God, I was wrong. I'm sorry I ran from You. Forgive me. We repent. We cry out to God. And if we mean it, then we find ourselves humbling. Humbling ourselves. If we really mean it. Now, we can go through the motions and act like it. But if we really mean it, God, and then we then posture ourselves towards God and we cry out to God. It's an act of humility. It's an act of humbling ourselves. And so Jonah does this, and then God calls to him a second time. Go to Nineveh. This is important to see. Because we can have our temper tantrums with God. We can get bent all out of shape. We can show God by ignoring Him and running from Him and closing His Word and just, we can show Him, right? How many of you have ever had, you've seen your kid just pitch an immortal fit and like they're showing you something, right? We can do that with God. But His grace for those people, it doesn't stop. Just because Jonah did that, just because, you know, he had been in the belly of the whale and all that, God comes to him to a second time and says, you know what? Go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. I think a hard thing for us to wrestle with sometimes, or I speak for everyone, maybe I just need to speak for myself because I can't put this on you. Maybe it's just my problem. But sometimes we really like this wrathful judgment, the judge side of God, right? Sometimes that's what we want to happen to the enemies of our life, the people that we can't stand. I mean, it's amazing. Like we can so easily be at odds with people in today's world. I mean, all you had to do was watch the TV or look on Facebook with this last election cycle. I mean, it divided us, right? It just separated us. And so sometimes we can pitch our tantrum. We can get angry at God. We can show God. And then think at the end of it, well, God saw how frustrated I am, so He's going to do what I want Him to do now. That's not how it works. We might think to ourselves, well, now God will take care of these people. God sees how much it hurts my heart. He knows how much of a heavy burden this is for me. Now God's going to do things my way. And that's not how it works out. Because God's grace for you is the same grace for them. The story, I don't know, maybe it's a tragedy. I'm not sure, but at the end of it, Jonah doesn't get it. He's up here, literally. God had just spared his life, and he went to the city, and he's so angry at God because he wanted God to do what he wanted him to do. And he knew that it wasn't right, but it didn't matter because Jonah wanted to feel justified. Jonah wanted to be right. I don't know about you, but I can totally relate to Jonah. There are moments in my life where I just want to be right. I want to be right, and I want to know that I'm right because God does what I want Him to do, right? But see, that's getting in the way of grace. That's me determining who deserves God's grace. And it just doesn't work that way. As I close this morning, I want to share, you know, a personal experience. In my life, there's someone who is, you know, over the years, we've been at conflict with one another. We're at odds. You know, they frustrate me. I'm sure I frustrate them. We have to deal with each other, but it's just what it is. And I really wrestle with this stuff. I really struggle with this stuff, because when you have a constant in your life, it, you know, you can get tired. And so this past Sunday, I received a text message, and I let that text message just like spiral me out of control. I just went to the worst place in my mind. What I did is what Jonah did. I ran from God. In fact, I just told Jennifer, I said, I'm mad at God and that's okay. It has to be okay. He's just going to have to deal with it. I'm mad right now. He's not doing what I want Him to do. And I was so angry and in my heart and in my mind, I just went to a very dark place and just everything was falling apart and nothing was, it'll never end. But then I came in on Monday and we're going through this season of prayer and fasting. And where in my heart, all I wanted was for God to just end this, stop this. As Jennifer and I prayed, what God wanted us to do was pray blessings on this person. God, give them a good day today. I didn't want to do that. But that's what it took to run towards God. And I wasn't in some boat on a storm and thrown into the water, but where I got in like a 24-hour period by just simply cutting off God and running from Him was chaotic in my life. And so this morning, if we're not careful, we can get in the way of God's grace. Our non-negotiables can get in the way of the grace of God. But here's a lesson that Jonah's learned, and here's a lesson that I'm learning. We can get in the way, but we can't stop His grace. And praying for bad things to happen to people or desiring for bad things, it's not the grace of God. And when we get the heart of God, my hope for my life is that I don't end up like Jonah, sitting on the hilltop, angry, because God forgave them, because they repented, because they changed. So it's about changing our perspective. See, too often it's all about Joshua, it's all about me. When in all reality, I'm not the star of the story. God's grace is for everyone. Would you stand this morning? Amen. So please don't think I'm just this raging ball of anger. But I think, I don't know, I feel that transparency is key. And just because we're ministers does not mean that we don't go through these things and experience these things. And Jonah was the prophet of God, right? And so, you know, everybody deals with things differently. Maybe your thing is not getting angry. Maybe, you know, whatever it is, but the reality is sometimes there are situations, people, things that cause us to want to call the shots with. But His grace is limitless, and it's for everyone. And I think that when Jesus taught on loving our enemies, it's such a necessary piece to navigate life, because there's always going to be enemies. There's always going to be those people. And we got to prepare ourselves and be in such a place that nothing gets in the way of the grace of God. So hear this benediction. Lord, as we leave this place, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight. O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen.